I have a confession. I sometimes take the educator audience of our podcast series for granted. I think, of course, teacher listeners are here with rapt attention, listening for instructional inspiration and teacher takeaways. But Georgia educators are not just here. You arrived to your profession and later to our podcast after completing your thorough and purposeful pathway to education. One such pathway within Teach in the Peach is the topic of today's episode, the Georgia Registered Teacher Apprenticeship Program. Let's walk through it today. Georgia teachers, so glad you're listening in on Classroom Conversations, your platform for teacher talk. I'm Ashley Mingwasser, big fan of yours. Our partnership podcast series, Classroom Conversations, is co-created by the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia Public Broadcasting to make your experience as an educator all the more rich. Godot has recently launched the Georgia Registered Teacher Apprenticeship Program, which focuses on developing new and innovative pathways to becoming a teacher. The paraprofessional to teacher apprenticeship pathway helps school districts build a local teacher pipeline where those pursuing their teaching certification can combine paraprofessional experience in the classroom with college coursework, mentorship, and tuition assistance. Part of Georgia DOE's teacher recruitment engine, Teach in the Peach, the paraprofessional to teacher apprenticeship pathway is available for school districts across Georgia. And Godot has a $3.9 million Apprenticeship Building America grant from the U.S. Department of Labor to support rural districts to develop teaching pre-apprenticeship pathways. Pre-apprenticeships can begin in high school and transition into registered apprenticeships when students graduate. Or you can take the paraprofessional route to becoming a teacher. There are multiple on-ramps, making it easier for school districts to develop teachers no matter where they are in their education journey. This pathway to education is admittedly worth the hype. I mean, there's a statewide educator signing day with Teach in the Peach, where both paras in schools and high school students in the teacher prep course can sign their commitment to teach in Georgia's classrooms. And the para to teacher apprenticeship pathway offers a rare paid pathway to earn while you work, as paraprofessionals become certified K-12 teachers while working in classrooms. For a closer look at the apprenticeship pathway, we tracked down participants in Crisp County, a rural district using local talent to grow dedicated teachers for Crisp County classrooms through the apprenticeship program. Located 2 hours south of Atlanta, around the city of Cordele, Crisp is an ag hub in our state, dubbed the watermelon capital of the world, actually. And it's where my two guests, Amber Ward and Gerardi Castro, are either developing or becoming, respectively, Georgia teachers. Amber is Crisp's teaching as a profession teacher in the CTAE department of Crisp County High School. Her work helps pre-apprentices become paraprofessionals through the apprenticeship program. Gerardi is studying to become a teacher at Georgia Southwestern University. He's currently a paraprofessional in the apprenticeship program at Crisp County Primary School. Welcome, Amber and Gerardi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Hey, Gerardi.
Hey.
You ever been on a podcast before?
No, I have not.
We are so excited to be your first. What about you, Amber?
This is my first.
This is your first, but it's not your first time in education. You've been around for a while. You've taught kindergartners through adults, is that right?
I have. I started my career in Crisp County teaching kindergartners in second grade, and I moved to Georgia Southwestern University and taught for a little while, and now I'm back in Crisp County teaching high school.
Teaching high school. So you really must have seen it all. You've got some war stories.
I have.
I'll ask you about that after the podcast. Describe the mission of a teaching as a profession teacher.
In our teaching as a profession pathway, we want to identify students in high school that think that they may want to become a teacher one day. So our mission is to get them out there, get them some experience with younger children that they may want to work with one day, and have, you know, that hands-on experience to decide if that truly is the passion that they have and if they want to take that to the next step, to the college level.
To actually commit to pursue teaching.
Right, right.
Excellent. And describe, you actually have a student connection to Gerardi's classroom. What is that?
Yeah, so my level 2 and 3 students in my classroom actually get to go to the primary school and the elementary school in our district, and they get to do field experience in a classroom. So one of my students now is going to Girardi's classroom to do her field experience with him at the primary school this semester.
Do you enjoy that, Girardi, working with the young up-and-coming teachers?
Yes, I think it's like just a great opportunity for them to go in and get their feet wet, I guess, if you will. That way they don't get to college and then try and figure out if that's what they want or not. But starting in high school, I think that's amazing.
It is amazing. It's a unique path. And Girardi, you care about Crisp County because aren't you a member of this community and you have been for a while?
Yes. Yes, I graduated from Crisp County back in 2016. Wasn't sure really what to do after high school. Did a couple different jobs. Worked in a factory making air conditioning units.
Really?
Worked at a restaurant. And then in 2019, I started working. I started at the high school as a parapro, and now this is my second year at Crisp County Primary School.
What made you take that detour and step into classrooms from what you were doing before?
I'd have to put that on my brothers. I have two younger brothers, and then I have their seniors this year, and then I have a younger sister that's in third grade. That's actually in my classroom. But my brothers were playing soccer, and I started coaching them in rec. Like in the recreation soccer, and then they got to middle school. I started coaching them in middle school as a community coach. And then that's kind of what said, oh man, like I like coaching. I like being around kids. I think I want to teach. And then that's what opened that door for me.
And that's how you became a paraprofessional. Still a soccer coach.
Yes.
About this program, which we're going to explain in detail with the help of you two. This past December, Crisp actually had its first TAP graduate, right, Amber?
Yes.
What can you tell us about that person's pathway to education?
Actually, whenever I worked for Georgia Southwestern University, I was part of this program with them as well. And she attended Georgia Southwestern and started this program as a para. And she is really one that led the way. She started her classes and helped us recruit more individuals, especially in Crisp County, to become a part of this program and attend classes at Georgia Southwestern. And Georgia Southwestern and Crisp County have this partnership that they have made and for this program specifically. So she was one that led the way to help us start recruiting more people for
the
program.
And now Girardi's on that path.
That's right.
And you expect many more graduates in the near future.
That's right.
I think you're built for this, Girardi, because you said you and your wife have five pets at home.
Yes.
You like a full house and a full classroom.
Yes.
Tell me about these pets.
We have three cats and two dogs. They're a handful.
Are they jealous when you're at school with your students?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they always get very excited when we come back home.
They can smell your children on you. Well, it's clear you both have a passion for education. And Amber, you say one of the things you love about your career as an educator is that it gives you time off to do one of your favorite things, which is what?
Yeah, traveling. So, you know, being in education, we do get those summers where we can take a little bit of downtime. We get the breaks throughout the year, winter break, spring break, fall break, Thanksgiving break. We get all these breaks that we do have some time that we can spend with our family. And that's one thing that I like to do is travel a lot during those breaks.
So many breaks, which are needed for educators, for your mental health.
Yes,
resurgence,
I agree.
And adventure, which is great. All right. As we dive into our topical conversation here, I'm hoping you guys can glossary me because there are a few definitions I'd like to elucidate for context. And the first, I think you can help us with, Girardi. Describe paraprofessional.
I think my situation is a little bit unique because I actually have my own classroom. So I'm labeled as a paraprofessional, but I teach my own third grade classroom. So I think in my situation, it's a little bit crazy because I'm still learning and, you know, I'm still taking classes, but I do have that support of the school kind of to help me along the way.
And what is a typical paraprofessional?
They're there for support and you support the lead teacher and to support the children in anything that they need.
You don't have to be a teacher yourself when you're a para. That's why this program is so neat, because you're a paraprofessional looking to be certified as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, so help me understand pre-apprentice versus apprentice.
The pre-apprentices can start in high school. So that's where I come in and my classes come in. As the teaching as a profession teacher at the high school, I'm identifying students that think that they may want to take this pathway, that they may want to, you know, stay in the area, become a paraprofessional for our school district, and then take classes online and become a registered apprentice. So as high schoolers, if they do decide that and they've talked with me and we've talked through that, then I can register them as a pre-apprentice, as a high schooler. And that basically means that we can give them support, we can give them field experience so that they can get out there and make sure that this is what they want to do. And then once they graduate from high school, they can go ahead and apply to be a para in our district if there are any openings. And if they do land a paraprofessional position and they do want to continue on with this path and they take classes online to get their teaching degree, then we can move them into the registered apprenticeship program. So they move from pre-apprentice in high school to a registered apprentice as a para.
As they're working to become a teacher.
Right.
Gotcha. And tell me about the program itself, the TAP program. How long have you guys been participating in this?
The TAP program in Crisp County, we have had for a couple of years now. The grant that came out is really what got us started, you know, in the program and looking at what we could do. It definitely is a way that we can try to help grow our own. What we say, we want to get some of our students that are in our district to stay in our district and come back and teach in our district. So about, you know, 2 years ago, we started looking at, you know, different ways we could do that, especially with the teacher shortage. The past few years, we've had a teacher shortage. So we started looking at that, and this grant gave us the opportunity to start this program.
To grow your own. And it's funny how originally Girardi, that wasn't his path, right? He was doing other jobs, but he came back to the classroom. But I think it's really cool, Girardi, that you were educated in the school system, and now you're back teaching in it. Let's talk about signing day, which is one exciting thing offered through Teach in the Peach, a statewide commitment. New teachers have the opportunity to sign their commitment to teaching in Georgia's classrooms. So teachinthepeach.org, we're going to talk about that. That is the state's platform for recruiting teachers to Georgia, for Georgia to be the number one state for teachers to teach.
The signing days are something that have just really recently become a big deal. They're making a big deal out of the signing days now. So before, a few years ago, they had signing days mostly for just high school students that wanted to go into the profession.
I see.
Now they have it where Georgia is concentrating on adding paraprofessionals that are in this registered apprenticeship program to participate in those signing days as well. Crisp County specifically, we are in the process of planning our signing day for May. There is a statewide signing day that we're going to have some of our high school students go to sign at the statewide signing day. But then we're also going to have a local signing day for a lot more of our paraprofessionals that are in the program, that are more of our high school students that may not be able to go to Atlanta to do that. And we want them to also have the opportunity to bring their families to our local events. So it's something that's becoming more of a big deal now.
It's, you know, developing.
Yes,
okay. Well,
sure.
I just want Girardi to sign so badly. If you could send me a picture of his signing day,
yes,
if he gets one. It's a relatively new thing. But I know you're familiar with Teach in the Peach, Girardi, because your journey has been highlighted through Teach in the Peach, which again is Georgia's statewide effort to elevate the profession and support pathways to becoming an educator. Can you talk about your feature on Teach in the Peach and what it's meant for you, Girardi, to share your story to a wider audience?
It's really awesome because, like, I'm very, like, special. Like, I think I'm just a pretty normal guy. For my story to be shared, I hope that it connects with a broader audience and they can see it. And if they want to become a teacher, they can see that it can be done.
Just showing that it's possible,
right,
for you to do. How were you featured on Teach in the Peach?
I think it was through Miss Patricia Ficini at our school. And she kind of came in and knew that I was doing the program.
And they did a story on you, mm-hmm, to share far and wide. Awesome. Well, one of the goals of Teach in the Peach is to make the profession feel more accessible to, mm-hmm, newcomers. And I know you've got eyes on them in the classroom, Amber. You're, yes, trying to recruit them. What supports make the biggest difference in your experience for students who do want to pursue teaching?
So I think that this pathway is a great support for students that think they may want to be teachers. They can get in this pathway. Once they're in the pathway, we give them many opportunities to do that field experience, like I mentioned earlier. They can get out and go into the primary school or the elementary school to actually have hands-on experience with the kids in the classroom. They can see what the teacher's doing on a day-to-day basis. They can see even what paras are doing on a day-to-day basis in those classrooms. And so that experience helps them solidify the fact that they truly want to be teachers, or it may make them decide that they want to do something different. But we want to give them that opportunity as high schoolers because we don't want them to go to college and decide then.
Wait a minute.
Yes. So, but I think that this pathway, and especially the field experience in the pathway, I think is a huge support for them to decide if this is truly what they want to do.
And they decide if they've been bitten by that teacher bug. And many,
right,
describe it as a calling for sure. On your end of things, Girardi, the para to teacher apprenticeship pathway blends classroom work with coursework and you get some mentoring in there. What's been the most helpful part of that mixture of supports along your journey?
For me, it would be the mentorship. I was lucky enough to be paired with Miss Swirly, who's been teaching for over 30 years. And at the start of this year, like I don't know how I could have made it without her and her advice and just her help. So just that constant mentorship is just really good to have. And I know like we collaborate just about every single day, like in between classes or, you know, planning just, hey, like I'm struggling with this. How can I do better? And she's always there just to give me advice or, you know, just to kind of pick me up.
So having a seasoned teacher available to be supportive is key. If another para or high school student is considering the pathway, but maybe they're a little bit unsure about time or cost or some of the other things you have to think about when you're choosing a profession, what do you want them to know?
If they want to be a teacher, I would tell them that it's a great pathway to go to because like I just said, with the mentorship, you're not alone. Like they pair you up with a mentor. They're just there every step of the way to really help you out. And then, like you said, the financial support just makes it really accessible for anybody who wants to continue to be a teacher.
$3.9 million, better use those dollars, right? Thank you, Godot. And Teach in the Peach strives to help students and families find clear, supported steps to enter the profession. When your students learn that they can move from TAP, Amber, to professional roles into a registered apprenticeship, what changes for them seeing that clearly ahead?
So this is life-changing for some of my students when they find out that they can do this. We come from a Title I school, which we have a lot of students in poverty. And like I said, this is life-changing when they find out that they can start working after they graduate as a para and make money while they're
right away
while they're going to college. You know, I have to explain the ins and outs of the program to them and what it looks like, how it would work. Once they truly get a picture of what it would be like to graduate, start working, have an income, having health insurance, all the benefits that you get as a full-time employee of the system. They get all of these benefits. Also, they can start paying into teacher retirement, which is a huge thing. You know, after 30 years, you can, you know, retire from a teacher. So if they can start paying into teacher retirement at age 18,
oh my gosh,
they could retire at the age of 48. It's amazing. And once you can talk through this with them and let them understand that, they truly see the benefits of this and starting right out of high school to become a para, get paid, take online classes, and become a teacher in 4 years. If they do full-time college classes, they could become a teacher in 4 years. If they feel like time is an issue, they could take college classes. They could take them slower. They wouldn't have to be full-time college students. They could take it slower and take two or three classes a semester instead of four or five. And that's okay, too. It may take them 5 or 6 years to become a certified teacher, but that's okay because they're still working as a para and they're getting all that experience while they're working as a para going to college online.
They're getting the studying part. They're getting the mentorship Girardi talked about. They're getting paid for their time. They're kicking into that retirement provisions, which is amazing. That's a full 17 years before the average individual reaches retirement. That's incredible.
It is.
Jumpstart your professional pathway. Girardi, you've done this for a little while now. Do you think you will be a better prepared educator because of the apprenticeship program? How has it affected you?
I'm just going to keep going on that mentorship. We're really able to just kind of talk about what I need help with. Like one of the things that we have to fill out with the apprentice and the mentorship, I think it's every semester we have to do this sheet. It's like a checklist of things that the mentor has to see the apprentice do. And we just kind of go down that checklist of things. And the last time that we did it, I was able to sit down and say like, all right, hey, like this area right here, I know that I need to be stronger in this area. So like, you know, like how can you help me? Like, what can I do to do better? So I think by the time I'm done with this, I'll be more prepared instead of having to start being a certified teacher and then start those improvements.
Teachers love rubrics when they're grading, so that must be helpful to a para and to a soon-to-be teacher to be able to gauge your experience and your progress against a checklist like that that really helps guide you along the way. This is putting you on the spot, Girardi, so feel free to say no, man. But can you share or think of a specific example of something that you learned in your coursework that you were able to apply right away that really changed things up for you?
Mm-hmm. So Georgia Southwestern, I'm almost done. So like the closer we get that I get to graduation,
yay,
they have us do a lot of, we're looking at standards and breaking down standards and then making a lesson from the standards. And again, being in the classroom, I can go back and say, oh, like I've done this half a dozen times. So I think that's something that translates really easy to the classroom.
You said you're nearing graduation. Is that in May for you?
It'll be in December of this year.
How exciting. Congratulations. Again, I want to see pictures of him signing, Amber, if you could be there. A fly on the wall. Okay, Amber, how do you talk to students about the long game aspect of this? Okay, they're going to start in high school and they're going to step into a para role after graduation, and then they're going to move onto the registered apprenticeship pathway when ready. How do they mentally prepare for quite a long arc of a career to start so young? Are they mentally prepared?
So there's a lot of communication, I have to, you know, explain the ins and outs of the program to them, just really explain the ins and outs of becoming a teacher to them. And then, you know, I want to give them all the different opportunities to become a teacher, the different pathways that would lead to becoming a teacher. But I do make sure that they know about this specific pathway, this registered apprenticeship pathway, because like I said earlier, those students that don't think that they have the time or money to go to college, this would be a great opportunity for them to be able to step into a para position and make money while they're taking online classes. And then also this program helps with college tuition. So they could potentially graduate debt free. And so I make sure that they know that, and I make sure I communicate that with them a lot, that they could possibly graduate college debt free. And when you said the long game, we even talk about retirement. You know, how many people do you know that can actually retire at the age of 48?
I don't know a single one.
Not many, right? So we talk long game. We do talk so much about, you know, all the benefits, the retirement benefits, you know, all these things. But it's a lot of communication, in the classroom. I let them talk to other teachers. I let them talk to our human resources director. She'll come in and give, you know, different presentations about this program specifically, but, you know, just being a teacher in general, you know, the pathways to becoming a teacher. So there's just a lot of communication. Built up and prepared.
Good communication. Yeah, a little immersive thinking. I'm curious, I feel like they need question time with Ms. Ward every day where they can just ask all of their burning questions about the field. I bet you get some interesting questions.
I do.
What's the funniest one you've got?
I don't know. I feel like every day is question time with Ms. Ward.
You're like, this is my job, Ashley.
Yes.
Okay. Anything to add to that, Girardi?
The financial support, again, is a major key. Yes. Because whenever I first decided, okay, I'm going to become a teacher, I started taking one class at a time, two class at a time, because at the time that was all I could afford. There was a point where I started doing the math and be like, all right, like if I take one or two classes a semester, it's going to take me 10 years to get through with this. So summers, started doing some extra work just to get more money to be able to take more college classes. And then whenever this program was introduced, it was like, oh man, like this just really fast tracks everything and I can get this done way quicker. Even for people that are older and that have been a parapro for a handful of years, this just makes becoming a teacher way more realistic, because that time and money isn't a factor. I can see how somebody who's been a parapro for a while just really get discouraged, because they're like, all right, like it's going to take me a long time to get through with it. But if they have that financial support through this program, it's a whole lot more feasible, because they can get done with it in 4 or 5 years.
For you, it was like a portal, really, because you found your gateway, your entry point. What was the timeline? What will it have taken you from your start to your completion in December?
I'm not sure what the entire timeline was. But I know that like once I got accepted into this program, at first I thought it was just going to be like a support. But I think they ended up being able to cover all of the classes that I took that next semester. And I went from taking like three classes to that following semester, like I took five.
Wow.
That's a whole semester almost.
Well, you guys are definitely doing great PR for this program, which we appreciate. What is beautiful about this is that we are essentially plucking future educators from obscurity, from within the communities that they live, reside in, and love, and are very dear to their hearts. What happens when you build a cadre of teachers this way? How does it affect culture when there's so much emphasis on community, Amber?
Yeah, so I'm actually a product of Crisp County schools as well, and I started my career in Crisp County. So I am invested in Crisp County. I did leave Crisp County for a few years, but now I'm back.
She came back.
That's right. And so I'm invested in Crisp County. I have a 9-year-old that's in Crisp County schools. I want to help build up these future teachers and identify these students in high school now that want to be teachers, because I never know, they may teach my child in 4 or 5 years. But I do think that teachers that are grown from within. They do invest more in their school system and their county because that's where they live, that's where they grew up, that's where they graduated from. You know, they do have that personal connection
with
the school. That's right. And they also know how important it is for us to build those relationships with students, because you may see them at Walmart the next, you know, in the afternoons, or you may see them on the ball field. I know that whenever I take my own child to the ball field, I have many students that will yell, hey, Miss Ward, you know, out on the ball field. So, you know, making those relationships in the community, in the school, translates, you know, into the community. And it's just nice to be a product of that school system and now work in that school system and see all my kids out in the community, you know, and I'm truly invested in my kids and in their life at school, but also out in the community as well.
It's powerful that it makes your personal life, your professional life, and your community life, the trifecta, one thing, right? It all kind of merges. And it's happening for you in the classroom, Girardi, because as you said before, your little sister is in your class.
Yes.
How does choosing to teach in CRISP really bring that community feeling home to you when you're looking, you're seeing your younger sister there?
So for me, like, I just try and be a good role model and just show the kids that, hey, like, you can, you know, you can do great things and you can bring back to your community. But yeah, no, like, it's really awesome being able to teach my younger sister. And I try and look at all the kids in just in that aspect, like, okay, like, I want my sister to look up to me and to see me as a positive role model. And I try to do the same thing to all the kids that I teach and all the kids that I come across.
For listeners who do want to explore this pathway, can you help me end with this? Teach in the Peach, as we know, pulls together stories like Girardi's, resources, and starting points for prospective teachers. From your experience, what is one first action that someone could take this month if they want to pursue this pathway?
So I would say first, log online and look at Teach in the Peach website. Look at what becoming a teacher looks like. And Teach in the Peach has done an awesome job of, you know, showcasing the teaching profession. And then if you're truly interested in learning more about being a teacher, if you're a high school student, I would say go to your guidance counselors and ask about if you have a teaching as a profession or education as a profession pathway in your school. If you do, I would say try to get involved in that pathway. If you are a para already and working in a school district already, I would say to contact Human Resources and ask Human Resources if they're involved with this registered teaching apprenticeship grant.
Because it's not every district, but it's in a lot of them.
Right. There's a lot of districts in Georgia now that have this and that are using this grant money to help their paraprofessionals. So I would say talk to your human resources director and see if your district participates. That would be your first steps.
Girardi, anything you can think of that aspiring paras can do to take their first couple of steps here in addition to what Amber shared?
Talk to your human resources, talk to your administrators to see what possibilities there are.
Yeah. What about personally? What about in their personal lives? So how do you get ready to start this pathway?
If you truly want to become a teacher, the best thing you can do is just get started, you know, like find a college. Like Georgia Southwestern does a great job at having a para-to-teacher program that's all online. Find a college, find a program that's a good fit, and just start, like, little steps at a time.
Follow the call. It's there for a reason, right? And we'll have smiling faces like Amber and Girardi to guide us along the way. Thank you both for being here today. Thanks, Girardi. Thanks, Amber.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Who can refuse the call of Teach in the Peach with a promising pathway like this? If you want to go to that website, that's teachinthepeach.org. To students of teaching, to paraprofessionals in training, and perhaps even those prospective teachers who are musing the possibility, just remember these few pointers. The Georgia Registered Teacher Apprentice Program, TAP, is buoyed up by $3.9 million in federal grants to help cover training costs. That's funding support for you right there. And Teach in the Peach, your central site for finding information, is ready and waiting for your visit. When you log online, you'll find interactive maps. You'll find a career quiz, which will help you guide your way and let you know if this is going to be a pathway that resonates. And finally, if you're a para looking to enter the field, check first to find a participating district, like Amber said, then contact that district's local HR team about an application. It's the first time I've said this version of this motto on our podcast, but you're about to become a great teacher. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ashley, cheering you along this path. Goodbye for now.